السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام.
Hello. See everybody this morning.
Yes, sir. السلام عليكم.
عليكم السلام
وعليكم
ورحمة الله.
السلام.
الله
السلام.
I'm looking to pull your thing up now, Adam.
Okay.
السلام عليكم.
عليكم
وعليكم
السلام.
السلام.
Hey, he's now a local yokel.
Local yokel boy.
Yes, sir.
was over at Tyson's Corner last night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I told my daughter, I said, I remember when they were first starting to build Tyson's Corner. She said, oh, you done told everything. You done told every old. When you say that, there's an old age type memory. I said, yeah, well, I remember when they first started planning resting. Mm-hmm. You know, Newtown. That was the first Newtown in America, you know?
Yeah.
Reston, Virginia.
Yep. Yeah, they had a farmer's market out there.
Yeah. I said, you can imagine when they started planning Reston, Virginia as a new town. You see? Years ahead, you know, or before yes, that, you know. That's what happens when you have patience, man, and perseverance.
Mm-hmm. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, you had Reston and you had Columbia, Maryland.
Columbia, that's correct. Columbia came after that.
Yeah.
Columbia was, yeah.
Do you remember Soul City, North Carolina?
Yeah. Columbia. Yes, I remember.
Yeah.
Soul City. I was involved in I was involved in the construction and planning of the new town right near the masjid in Medina, about 2,000 villas. Mm-hmm. That years of planning. Go ahead.
Yvonne, you left. You left one quality out. You said patience
and
planning.
And patience, planning, and perseverance.
And you left one thing out.
Prayer.
No, the government on your side.
Oh yes, that's right. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, because you know Reston, Virginia, the development of Reston, they actually ran out of money. They went way over budget in developing that city. But you know the primary benefactor there, I can't remember his first name. His last name was Reston. Was tied heavily into both Republican and Democratic politicians.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept feeding them rope and money and everything to get Reston done. They were not going to allow it to be a failure.
Right.
And Soul City,
oh,
at the end of the Nixon administration, they pulled the rug out from under Soul City.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They did not give Soul City the same consideration that they gave Reston.
Yeah.
They sent it on to represent their name.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
And yeah, they gave him the soul, okay. The bottom of the bottom of their foot. That's because we didn't do it ourselves, you know. And that goes with in terms of group planning and self-determination in every aspect of the bringing that into existence. Mm-hmm.
That's one case we rely totally on the government.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. And now we know that them days are gone for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. Yes, they are.
Now we go back to Booker T. Washington and in his statement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to make your boots first, and then build, and then put the straps on, and then have enough energy to pull.
Which we have never actualized.
That's right.
Never.
There was some instant. Yeah, there was some sprouts coming up from the ground in little places, little small places, and of course you know what happened in Wilmington and Tulsa, and you know that was almost like an invasion to start building your own stores and streets and houses and farms, you know. That little man from Georgia, where we got our Georgia, University of Georgia degrees from the third grade provost. He was moving, you know, from the physical point of view, you know.
Well, like, unfortunately, like your man Muhammad said, that was a show of establishment.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't establishment.
Just
it
to let show. You, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. To show you, you can do something, you know. Don't be afraid. Look at me. You know, that kind of thing.
But again, but Bonnie.
Yes.
You know, and I know. Us operating on the hopes that we can do something. So what we attempted to do wasn't normal.
Right.
There's no ethnic group in the world that did it the way we were trying to do it.
That's right.
So that's why man said it was a show of establishment.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's why I said that. Now, I'm hoping that by now we can just go on and do it and quit trying to, you know, just go on and do something.
Yeah, exactly.
Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You have it in you to do it.
That's right. When you start moving, even though you just, you know, learning how to swim, you will make, you know, you'll make some progress, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've been involved with so many of these projects, it's unbelievable, man. And some, it has to start small and with vigor, you know? Because you won't, some of your own people will cause you to hold it back, you know? Hold back.
Yeah. I mean, we are still psychologically messed up.
Yeah. Yeah, just plantation mentality.
Brother, I'm with, you know, like I said, I'm working with the African American Caucus here.
Yeah.
And for last month, we've been talking about racism, and we got to fight the races, and everybody's racist.
Oh boy!
So then somebody said, "Well, we need to cancel the meeting this month because it's around Christmas." Now the meeting was the third Wednesday. They canceled that because of Christmas. And then in our text screen, we get text. They text all day. They talking about Merry Christmas.
Mm.
I hope Santa Claus is good to you. Jesus is the way. We've gone from fighting rights supremacy.
Wow.
To embracing the two main images of white supremacy.
Mm-mm-mm.
Jesus and Santa Claus.
Mm-mm-mm. I'm telling.
Wait. Jesus Santa Claus. I don't even participate in this. I don't say nothing in this picture. Let's get it out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
How can we fight racism for our people if we're consumed by the that neighbor to make us inferior anyway?
Yeah, because they don't have the courage, man. You know? They don't have the courage to put down those things. They just, you know, they're really that cowardly lion that just won't assume his natural position. And I was just reading something about the Great Zimbabwe War, and how no mortar was used to build it, and the wall on could encircle, I think it was America, three times. That's how extensive that wall was, you know, and it was over 30 feet, that three stories high,
mm-hmm.
and 20 feet wide in terms of its stability, you know, in Africa, mm-hmm. and Zimbabwe, you know, way before the Europeans came. In fact, they tried to erase that information from history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, you've got students that are in universities, HBCUs, okay, that have never even have a notion that these things exist. And I'm talking about in 2024.
But that's a classic example of being persistent,
mm-hmm.
having a plan.
That's right. And carrying
it. It started out with one brick.
That's right.
Small. It started out small.
One stone.
But they kept at it.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept at it. They didn't give up.
That's right.
So when people look at it, to me, if they approach it from that position, over mm-hmm. the Great Wall and how big it became, but look where it started at.
That's right.
You can start it that way too. You can start it with a brick too.
Most of your farmers who have cultivated olive groves, they plant mm-hmm. the seed and they never even imagine eating some of the olives that'll grow on that street, on that tree.
Right.
Never.
Right.
You see?
Yeah.
So you plan for the future, and you keep at it, you know? Put your back into it.
Mm-hmm.
With those who visualize and see the same thing you see.
Mm-hmm.
That is not physically visible, but will come into visibility because it's already been planted inside you and me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the more we involve ourselves with, there's help coming from all directions. But you have to be patient and persevere and make sure that Allah is the main is to please God. That's the main effort. And by doing that, serving God to help serve mankind, and especially our community. Even though we have all kinds of crazy notions and involvement, you know, we still have to endure that. You know. happened to do with that? That's one of the tests.
How old are you? Let's open up this morning. Imam Talib, you open this up.
Yeah, let me just hold on 1 second. Let me close this up. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbi alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyaka nabadu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdinis sirata mustaqim. Sirata alladhina anta ilayhim ghayru al-maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Amin. Alhamdulillah.
So you guys continue on. It's good discussion. Does it bleed back into everything that we're trying to do? Brick by brick.
No question. No question.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah. I had the fortune, good fortune, to be invited this week to a meeting here in Dallas regarding the Dallas Masjid al-Islam. They have a building fund. They've raised a little over $2 million toward building a new masjid, community center, et cetera, on land that they already own, just off downtown Dallas. But they don't know what to do with the money. Of course, I'm going to say maybe probably a little over a year ago, you know, the question was brought up about Graceline. And, you know, should we open an account at Graceline? Of course, I had to tell them we weren't open at that time. But so they've still been kind of puttering around and wondering what to do with those funds other than have them. I think they're using Bank of America. We just got the funds in Bank of America. So we, you know, we had some presenters. Hud Williams actually had presented, made a presentation to them about 2 weeks ago, I understand. So they had a group of real estate professionals who have a real estate investment fund that presented this past week. Just, you know, pretty interesting thing is a group of young immigrant brothers, and I say young because they're like my son's age, my older son's age. They're in their 30s, and they started out by buying few dilapidated properties, going in and fixing those properties up, renting them out, and then selling them to larger outfits as a unit. Like maybe they started out maybe doing 10 to 12 homes, get those homes up to code, get those homes occupied by people, and package that whole thing together. And sell it to a large real estate concern. And then they've repeated this, not just in Dallas, but in Houston, St. Louis. I think they did something out in Riverside, California. And they're, you know, they're expanding little by little. And it just leads into that thing of start small, you know, prove your concept, and then continue and grow it. And they're doing it with investor money. So I mean they've got some individuals that put money with them. Once they saw they were successful, they went, I think, and talked to ICNA, has some money, has some of their money with them. Yakin Institute has some of their endowment funds with them. What's the other group? Islamic Relief, some of their endowment funds are with them. Those are the ones that they felt free to name that are investors with them. So you know, and they're in that 9 to 12% return on investment category, which is, you know, actually pretty good. But, you know, it just made me think, you know, the things that we're attempting to do, we just have to be diligent. And, you know, of course, we got that, we got the letter. And I think everybody had a chance to read it, the email from NCUA this past week that we were kind of expecting. So we'll start the entire process over again whenever our, you know, articles of incorporation, bylaws, you know, the 1023 that we have to file with the IRS, and all that's ready to go. Then we resubmit everything to the NCUA at the same time. And basically, we are back to where we were when we got the email. We really would not have lost any time. We'll be exactly back where we were, but in a position to make great strides from that point on. So, yeah, we just have to keep working brick by brick, putting it together. Did anybody have any questions about that whole POC process and what she was talking about in the email? And I'm assuming everybody had a chance to read the email.
It's just recalibrating.
It's, yeah. it's not even a recalibration. It's exactly. A refiling of the exact same paperwork.
Exactly.
And in our case, it's actually an upgrade of the paperwork since we've made changes that actually serve to benefit us.
So what do we have? What do we have? What board do we have to fill in order to keep it moving north?
Just their acceptance of the new bylaws.
Okay.
That the new bylaws don't violate any of the covenants of, you know, single common bond.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, that we're seeking to be. So as long as our bylaws are in line with that, we're ahead of the game again.
Exactly.
When did that letter come in? Because I don't know.
It was Monday or Tuesday, and I know that I forwarded it as soon as I got it. I'll go back into my email real quick, and I'll tell you exactly.
All right. So has someone implanted the changes in the bylaws to?
Well, so the question is, have we given anybody that task to do that?
I thought we did, but I thought we did.
Yeah.
I thought it was, so, I might be mistaken. I don't want to put it on Omar, but I thought we did, but we didn't. Okay. We need it.
So number one is to, I think we had agreed on the changes, that the final version,
yes,
to the bylaws.
Yes.
So given that that version, that final version was accepted, then whoever, however we would like to do it, let's just make that official today. That particular set of bylaws, incorporate them into the articles of incorporation. We know where that information has to go. And, you know, let's take the next step of getting that all together and getting it to the parties that need to see it. Where does that need to go, Adam? I mean, do we need to send something to the state of North Carolina?
I know it needs... It's on the bylaws, so it's not in the Articles of Corporation, so it's in the bylaws.
Okay.
And we might, you know, once it's done, if we have to submit it to the state, we can. But I do know it has to be submitted with the 1023.
Mm-hmm. Right.
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 And I think we, hold on a second.
Hey, Mom, Todd, that would have been Tuesday, the 10th.
Okay, I'll look.
Yeah, it's an email from Michelle Dickens, but it's forwarded from me, and it says Graceline PLC submission discussion would be the forwarding headline.
Yeah.
All right, so what let's
see. Yeah, I got it now. We're gonna have to submit articles of amendment to the Secretary of State of North Carolina saying the corporation will have members.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the first thing we did that we are, and then yeah, and then I guess we had to submit bylaws or something along with that language.
Okay.
So it was on Sunday, December the 1st, that we approved the membership amendment. And then but what I'm looking at now is we had a meeting the following week, December the 8th, but there weren't any votes taken. At least I don't see where there was any votes taken.
No, because that was last Sunday. Last Sunday right. Was not an official board meeting.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Because I think we had made all the decisions regarding that on the first.
Right.
At but, that meeting.
Yeah. What I was getting around to is I don't see anything in my notes from that December 1st meeting that made a vote on the bylaws themselves. There was just a vote of adding Article 3 membership to the bylaws. So what you're proposing now, if I'm understanding you correctly, if it's necessary, is for a full acceptance of the bylaw.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I guess we did it de facto, but yeah, if we wanted to do something on an official basis, That is, we could do that, though I will tell you that having already discussed it and kind of decided de
Yeah,
facto,
I don't. Yeah, that's why I'm asking.
if we send it, if we send it to an official body, right? If we send it to an official body, we basically said that we all agree
Yeah.
that that's what we're doing.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary, because we've already voted. We voted on the bylaws previously.
Right. Right.
This most recent vote was just to add Article 3 membership. And that would be sufficient. So let's not waste any time doing that.
So what date are we gonna put that the amendment?
December 1st.
December 1st.
Yeah.
Okay.
And did you I don't know if it I don't think I don't think it's gonna be necessary, but I could. In fact, it will be a part of the minutes, you know, where they're going to reflect, you know, the motion and the passage of it, you know, date, time, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that will be in our record.
Okay. Yeah.
That'll be in our record, and of course, because it'll be in our record, it'll also be available, you know, for anyone that wants to view it publicly.
Right.
So,
yeah.
All right. So, okay.
And we have recordings and notes, and your notes, and, you know, we have way too many records of what went on.
Let's see. Tuesday would have been the 10th. Yeah, 10th.
Yeah.
Let me look in my other email.
Yeah, so sometime probably around 12:30 p.m. your time. This one that would have gone out.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing it.
Yeah, mine is my record is showing 11:34 Central Time.
And Talib, I put a vanishing note in the chat section. It's going to be vanishing in about 3 minutes.
What you put where?
In the chat. Check the chat out.
Ain't nothing in the chat. Not in mine.
Oh, that's the wrong title. Oh, gosh. Let me delete it. Let me put it in the right one. I'm sorry.
Let's see where it is.
Okay. That says Tarek, not Todd. That's my bad.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, all right, check your chat out, man.
All right, there you go, right there. okay. All right. And December, all right. Yep.
And saying,
yeah, that's
I just didn't want AI to record it.
Yeah, you
look, AI will testify against you.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
In a civil proceeding.
Right.
Let's see. So, Edward, you may need to send that to me again, because I don't see it anywhere. Let me check. The one thing I haven't done. is, let me check. Let's see. No, and I don't see it. I don't see it in my spam either.
Okay, I'm sending it to you now.
Okay. I mean, I do understand what you're saying, so it's a no real.
No, I mean we basically had discussed it and were right. Anticipating the possibility of it. Of it occurring.
Okay. I'm going to have to leave out shortly. But I'm going to try to pick this back up by phone. So, Edward, if you see a number ending in 8945, that'll be me.
Okay.
Trying to get back on through the phone. Okay. If I could just real quick before I get off. I spoke with a couple of the board members of Masjid Muhammad about forming a financial empowerment committee for the Masjid. And one of the board members reminded the others that I had presented once before, and that they were, you know, very enthusiastic about that presentation. So I was asked to write something up and present it to one of the board members who will present it at a meeting this Wednesday. And it's simply the formation of the Financial Empowerment Committee that would bullet point its features, its benefits, and the relationship to the mission, goals, and vision of Masjid Muhammad. So I put that together. There's no syllabus at this time or anything of that nature. It's just a general outline. My intention is to get a draft of this finished today and forward it to you all for comment and any other suggestions. And the reason that I'm doing it is because the reason I want us to review it is because I also want to use it as a template of a precursor that we can add to Omar's workbook. In other words, I'm looking at this as an opportunity. And if you go back and listen to the program that he and I did on CWSC, essentially how we played it was to present a problem, or in this case, a myriad of financial issues and problems. And then Omar came behind me and presented the solution, being the workbook. So I'd like to see us expand on that. It's been inspiring for me to look at what Omar has done in terms of the workbook and try and duplicate something like that. Not necessarily a workbook, but a sort of an introduction, you know, to how we got to this point. And then offer the opportunity, you know, the opportunity by using the materials that we're going to present in order to do the things that we talk about wanting to do in terms of helping our community, you know, making informed decisions, getting out of debt, learning about the various resources that are available to them. So leading up to, and this is something that I'm looking at with the masjids that I think can be duplicated around the country, is small groups of individuals of like mind putting together investment opportunities for members, for other members of our community. By example, Edward talked about one of his oldest sons having started a property renovation, and I'm assuming they either rented them out or flipped them, you know, for sale, and then moved on to the next property. Something of that nature, where we provide opportunities for people that don't have a lot of money to be able to make these sort of small investments that will yield them a return where they can comfortably feel like this is a business that they've invested in and does not violate any tenets of Quran when it comes to riba. I will get that outline to us, even though it will be entitled for Masjid Muhammad. I would ask those of us in Graceline to look at the possibilities of us being able to incorporate this. I also am going to send it specifically to Kalita so that her and I can start planning these different webinars or podcasts or whatever it is we're going to do with all this information that that we've collected. So we can, you know, let's look out for that. I've got an 11:15 appointment I need to get to, maybe about it might be about 15 minutes from my house. So I got to get packed up for that. But as soon as I get back from that, I'm going to finish this draft document up and get it out to us. And I'd appreciate any feedback anyone would care to give, even if it's, you know, just a thumbs up that, you know, that it looks good. I'm not asking for any votes or anything like that. Just some feedback.
Okay.
So I will give you all my salams. I am going to try to get back on via phone as you all you know, continue this meeting. But I'm going to leave you with assalamu alaikum. Inshallah, I'll speak with you soon.
Thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, so I think we're all on the same page as far as the bylaws and understanding what Imam Talib is working on there in Washington, D.C. Is there anything else that we need to discuss or that we need any kind of updates or clarification on? So from a time perspective, Adam, what are we looking at on refiling with the IRS?
I've gotten everything done. I've had to go back and adjust the financials just a little bit because I hadn't incorporated the transactions with the trip costs.
Okay.
I've had to go back and look at that. It seems that trip cost charges $1,500 a year, right?
Exactly.
And when somebody donates money to us, they would reduce that $1,500 by the amount that's donated.
Right. Yeah, whatever fees that they earn for processing and all no, that.
I'm not talking about the processing fee. I'm talking about the.
You're talking about the accumulated donations that stay there with FlipCost.
Until it reached 1,500, they would reduce that amount. So I had to go back and.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Operating. Yeah.
Incorporate those transactions into our financials.
Right, right.
And I know when we first transaction occurred, December of 2021, and that was $100. Did we give them the $100 or they gave us $100 credit?
I don't think they give away any credits, so.
Yeah. So we opened the account with $100. Is that right?
Right. Someone made a $100 donation, pretty sure.
And that opened the account. Okay.
Right.
So then we had some transactions in 2022 and then some in 2020. So I had to incorporate those transactions to reflect it on our books.
Okay.
And hope to get that done this week. So I can make the corrections to the tax returns. And I assume I just have to e-file the tax returns as 1120s.
Mm-hmm.
Because they won't accept as 990s. So we do it as 1120s. And then once the bylaws are finalized, then I can go ahead and submit the 1023 with the $600 user fee. So I'm going to get that done last day of the year. So it'll be effective for the current year. Makes sense.
Yes, it does. Definitely. Okay. So that'll be the same time period that I'll do the POC again with NCUA so that they coincide.
Okay. All right. So it'll be the application will be effective, let's say January 1. If mm-hmm. you approve it, it'll be for the whole year.
Exactly. Yeah.
We don't have to worry about doing short years and whatever.
Right. And then we'll do our first 990 for tax year 2025.
Inshallah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And believe me, I'll be on it this year. I think we'll all be on it. I'll be waiting at the door for them to open up.
Yeah, don't want to go through that again.
No. Yeah.
Even though I still put the blame on them, I think the communication could be 100% better.
Oh, man, it could be. If they can be as specific, they program the computer.
Right.
If they just said, you go back and file 21, 22, and 23, we'd have done it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
They send out notices on everything else. I don't understand why there weren't notices on that.
I have no idea. But guess what? This don't get crazier. Now that DeJure can do his little crazy stuff without any pushback.
Yeah, right. When is his deal up? He was given a 10-year.
I think it's eight or 10 years. See, the thing is, the president has to appoint, and what we're talking about, people, is the guy that heads up the Internal Revenue Service. That was appointed by Trump on his first term.
Mm-hmm.
The president has to appoint the person, but any other president can't fire him. You follow?
Right.
So that's why when Biden became president, he remained there because Biden couldn't get rid of him. And so
wasn't he the director of postal service? Enjoy.
Well, it's the same thing. Same thing with the postal service as the IRS.
Okay.
And supposedly, the FBI is supposed to be the same way, even though we know that he's going to resign to make way for Trump's guy. But all of those are supposed to be nonpartisan appointments, so that politics doesn't play, you know, in that person being able to stay in and do their job for the American people. But, you know, that's a joke.
Yeah, that's the way it's been. So, but now it's, anyway. So, they're talking about cutting 75% of the budget of the IRS.
Yeah, they can't do that. I mean, literally, they can't do it because our economic system would just collapse.
Oh, is that the post office? No, I'm the IRS.
What's that? Is that the post office do what?
I'm trying to, was that the post office? No, I think it was IRS they said they're talking about doing that.
Yeah, because the IRS is what they have a problem with, because the IRS is hot on the heels of collecting taxes from big corporations and Trump and everybody else. But the credit rating of the country is dependent upon the IRS's ability to collect from those corporations.
Mm-hmm.
To put money into our treasury that allows us to pay our bills as a country. And you start messing with that, we're in a spiral that you can't get out of.
Mm-hmm.
We actually need more IRS people. As much as I don't like paying taxes, we actually need more people in the IRS just to make sure that people are not taking advantage of quiet loopholes in our tax law that may or may not exist, but people take them on the advice, sometimes of friends, sometimes of their accountants. Try this. Mm-hmm. You might be able to get away with it. And the IRS is understaffed, and a lot of that stuff gets through.
That's right. They can't.
Yeah, they can't check everything. Yeah, they can't check everything.
They can't. So now to make up for it, I get clients, they get letters from 2021.
Right.
Saying you owe X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
They never send out how they calculate that you owe X amount of dollars. But they know most people gonna pay it.
Yeah, because you can't go down there. You don't have anything to show that you don't.
Oh, exactly. And I know they're doing it because they did it to me.
Yeah. Well, they did it to my cousin, and she's stuck in purgatory. They won't write her anymore. They won't send her a refund anymore. They don't demand money from her anymore. She's just stuck.
Stuck.
She didn't know what's going on. Because at one point in time, they said she owed. Because she took her own children as dependents. Legit. Under 18 years old. But her sister also took her children as dependents.
Yeah. That's a bad... I've had clients.
That's a bad deal. So... Unfortunately, my cousin, her sister, we're all first cousins. She passed away from COVID. So she's not around to answer for herself.
Mm-hmm.
And for the thousands of dollars that she was able to recover of filing falsely. So where do you think they're going to try to get that money from?
From the her low sister. Hanging fruit. The low hanging fruit, brother.
Exactly.
No, exactly. Another thing they do. No, another thing they did. I have clients that I do payroll for, so I had to file their payroll tax. And you're supposed to, if you don't, your payroll doesn't. If the tax burden doesn't reach a certain criteria, you're supposed to file it every month by the 15th of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So, I might file it on the 20th. So they would send a letter out saying, hey, you filed your monthly payment out late, right? And normally you get penalized, but we're not going to penalize you. It's sort of like a no harm, no foul type deal, right? They're going back and charging penalties now.
Of course. Oh yeah, they've been told to collect all monies that they possibly can.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I said, boy, they about like I am. Want somebody owe me some money? Dang, no. So yeah, but see, they don't go after the big boys like that, but the little man, they just dog him out.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's no way you have to stay in power to stay in tax court with them.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen. You're going to go pay a lawyer to do a negotiation to hopefully get you where you can get down and pay 40 cents on the dollar, 30 cents on the dollar, whatever. And the IRS will take it because it's better than getting nothing. But you've spent the attorney fees and the time and the new gray hairs. And you still write them a check. It's a mess. But one of these days, I want somebody, in fact, I might try to do it myself, to figure out in the United States of America, based on our wealth as a country, if we could put a system of Zakat in place, 2.5%, 3% in an extraordinary year that we had, massive hurricanes or different stuff like that, but of just collecting wealth, a wealth tax. We've always discussed value-added tax, which I think is cruel. Value-added tax is cruel. But a wealth tax would not be cruel. And you might, if with all the technological advances that we have, it's possible we could actually even force corporations to legitimately pay a tax based on their true wealth, you know, and not some written down version of, you know, depreciated version of their assets and stuff like that, but the numbers that they actually use when they go to Wall Street to raise money. Because there's a vast difference in the number they give the Wall Street banks and the numbers that they tell the government that something's worth. It's a night and day difference. But I really wonder what that number would be if we charge a, wealth tax on corporations and people, of how much money would actually be accessible.
Yeah, it would be interesting to know.
One thing we do know is that interest on that on the sovereign debt, my goodness, that's insurmountable. Unless you print money, and then that's a problem too.
Yeah. So the whole thing that Elon Musk and the Indian, I think he's Indian, Vijay, whatever his name is. You know, their whole thing of trying to reduce, you know, government spending and all that to get the budget deficit in line. It's a fool's errand.
Yeah, because Allah said he'd go to war against those who deal with this interest, this riba, man.
Yeah.
So you ain't gonna win.
Yeah, the only way for us as a country to get out of that particular spiral of having to borrow more money than that we're creating within the country to keep everything running is to become producers again, and producers of more than just oil and gas.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be producers of microchips and producers of washing machines and refrigerators and anything else that you can think of. We just have to become producers again, manufacturers. That's how you start to work your way out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you can do it with tariffs. Though, you know, you're always going to have some tariffs. You're always going to have to try to balance things out and make people work fairly with you. You know, if we're going to take some of yours, then you got to take ours. And some years you might take a little bit more of ours than we take of yours. And next year we take a little bit more of yours than you take of ours. But there's got to be some balance there. So, I mean, that has to be worked out. It has to be worked out in a way that, again, doesn't cause the people in the lower end of the economic scale to have to bear the brunt of it. You have to be smart about it. And, you know, grocery prices are already starting to climb back up in anticipation. Nothing's even happened yet. And grocery prices are starting to rise because the grocers are anticipating that they're not going to have the supply that they've had. They think they're going to lose farm workers. There's potential. They think that there's going to be tariffs on things like avocados. I mean, what, 85% of all avocados sold in this country come from outside the country?
Principally Mexico.
Yeah. So, anyway. I'm not an economist, but I'm smart enough to know that idea doesn't work. But we also have to pay people more money. The best thing we could do as a country to alleviate, I mean, countless problems, is to raise the minimum wage over $20 an hour.
Or develop some automation and robotics.
Well, the unions are fighting automation and robotics. The unions are fighting it tooth and nail. They do not want it. We're about to have another longshoreman strike is about to happen just because of automation.
Yeah.
Biden got them agreed to leave the picket lines and go back to work to try to help Kamala win the election.
Well, you got clowns on your left and jokers on your right. And we're stuck in the middle.
Right. So yeah, they're planning another strike. You know, and the bad thing about it is if you cave into them, let's say, and at the US ports that they're upset with the coming automation, if you delay that automation for 6 months to a year or longer, then all those ports in Mexico and Panama and other places that are implementing these policies, they're going to start to get more work. Yeah, they're going to get that work. And the only thing that keeps Mexico from being a big time competitor of ours as far as manufacturing and probably the whatever, I don't know the exact term, but the mid level of manufacturing where you're getting parts from other parts of the world and you're doing assembly somewhere. The Mexicans are really good at assembly. They're good at anything mechanical, and they're really good at assembly. What they don't have in Mexico is they don't have the means, like in central and southern Mexico, they don't have the means to do that work, which is where 2/3 of their population is central and southern. They don't have the means, once they completed that work there, to get it north or to get it to large enough ports to take it around the world. They don't have a rail system. They have an east to west rail system. They don't have a north south rail system in Mexico. So there's one being planned that's going to run into the United States and run through New Mexico north. But they actually need a second major multimodal rail system, so that they can develop small factories all along there, starting in southern Mexico and running all the way up to the U.S. border, which would do a couple of things. Number one, obviously, it would help their economy and put a lot of people to work. But all those people coming from Honduras and Guatemala and Nicaragua and, you know, Venezuela, Colombia, or wherever, they would never get to the United States because they'd get hired in Mexico. They would go to work right there. Now, that may be a problem for the Mexicans, but it would help us with our immigration deal. Because then the people who were coming here, we'd be able to much more easily vet them and be able to assimilate them and get them into job training programs so that they could work in our factories that are hopefully starting to grow and take off. So I'm kind of hoping this new president of Mexico, the lady, that she understands the need for that, and that they take some of that drug money that they are undoubtedly getting and they put it into building the rail system. There's a bank, those banks got to do something with that money. You can't just sit on it. Sister Martha, assalamu alaikum, how are you? Oh my goodness, I put her to sleep. Sister Kalita, assalamu alaikum, how are you? So, like your brother Omar, how are things in South Carolina?
Well, alaikum assalam. How are you? It's going well. Can't complain.
Good. I'm good to hear it, man. Good to hear it. I know you've been extremely busy. The enterprise that you and your wife had started here a few months ago, how's that going?
It's going really well. Actually, we are ramping up the fifth phase of the contract. So now we're in the post delivering post technical assistance. So we're coming up with processes now on how that's going to work.
Okay. Yeah, I wish you the best. That's, you guys are just doing amazing things. I'm really proud of you. Proud to know you.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
Well, if we don't really have anything else to cover this morning, I know if Talib was back on, he would tell us about all the different things that he saw this past week in banking. Man, there's some banks in trouble, or at least they're being sued for not acting right. But I don't have anything else this morning, and I'm sure we've all got plenty to do. So if there is nothing else, Imam Adam, would you close us out this morning?
Yes. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Rahman Rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
السلام عليكم.
آمين. وعليكم السلام brother. Everyone have a wonderful Sunday.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
So I'm almost coming full circle to think it's 33 years. So from dawn to sunset, so we break our fast at one part, sunset.